You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit jabberjawmedia.com for more shows like this one.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Peer Pleasure with Dewey Halpus on Jabberjaw Media. I am Dewey, your host with the most, bringing you more great content week after week. And this week, we have another Grammy nominee. Unfortunately, they didn't win the Grammy this year. I believe it went to Chris Cornell. But Mr. Jason Butler from the Fever 333 from Let Live. This guy is amazing, guys. I've been a fan for a long time of Let Live. We talk about it on the episode the first time I saw them play at a club I was working the door at, and actually left my post to go check them out because I thought they were great. This interview, I absolutely loved it. Big shout out to Johnny Minardi for hooking me up with Ross to get me in touch with the band. This interview was actually supposed to take place two different times. It's kind of a funny story. It's not a funny story, but we had it set up the first time, and about half hour before the interview, I got a cancellation email because Jason's wife had gotten really sick. So we rescheduled right before that one happened. My son got sick and had to cancel that one. And then this last time when the interview was supposed to happen. So sometimes with artists, you get a call. Sometimes you just, call and set up the interview, call them on their cell phone and do the interview, which a lot of these episodes are. And sometimes you get a call from management saying, hey, I'm here to connect you with so-and-so. And then they beep you through. That way they don't give out their information and things like that. So the first time we had this set up, it was going to be just me calling Jason. And some time had gone past before we rescheduled. And so I got a call from management saying, hey, the last interview is going a little long. Can we get some more time? So I said, sure. So I was recording mobily and said, hey, how about 4:30? That way I can drive to somewhere with better service and set up the interview. And that way I knew I'd be prepared. They're like, okay, cool, 4:30. So I'm driving. It's 4:17. I'm on the freeway and my phone rings and it's Jason. Ready to go with the interview. So I had to get off the freeway and pull into a neighborhood. And he was very gracious. He understood what was going on. And I let him know, hey, hold on a second. And clicking around, clacking around. And we got it all set up. I had everything on my seat ready to go, and so we were able to connect and knock this one out. So we did start a little bit later than we were supposed to, so the interview is a little shorter than it would have been normally, but I think it went really well, and I had a blast talking to Jason, and what a cool dude, man. This band, The Fever 333, is really, I say it on the episode, but they're absolutely what this country needs right now, this world needs right now, is something with that much passion and a way of uniting everybody. They are very inclusive, very, I love how they call their shows demonstrations, because it literally is. I mean, it's literally a performance art piece. He's an absolute maniac. If you guys haven't heard them, check out the new record, Strength in Numbers, Made in America. Before that, that's the one that was nominated for the Grammy. And the guy is just an absolute animal. The whole band is. They're amazing. So much energy. And they remind me a lot of the passion that Rage Against the Machine had to unite people and just watch a crowd just bounce like a giant blanket. I mean, it was just insane. So really stoked on this band, guys. They're fantastic. I was super stoked to get him on the show, and the conversation went really well, as I was saying. I just wanted to fill you guys in on the backstory because it's a little funny, and you'll kind of hear, like, he was getting home in the interview. His son was there and saw him coming in, and he was trying to hold him off, and eventually I just said, dude, go be with your son. I understand how it is, but I think we got some good stuff in there. So, once again, I appreciate you guys coming back week after week. I know there's been a couple weeks off, and I'm glad to be back. And with this banger of an episode, it's awesome. It's such an inspiring conversation. So I'm stoked for you guys to hear it. So let's get some business out of the way, and we'll jump in. So purepleasurepodcast.com is the website. We got a new store up, the Etsy store, with stickers, hats, T-shirts, all that good stuff. So check that out. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Tell a friend. Rate and subscribe to the show, guys. It's a big deal when we get those ratings coming in. We're trying to boost the ratings on the show and actually get more reviews. And I love getting those open and honest reviews of the show. It really means a lot, and it shows me that people are listening and paying attention, and it really helps us with chart position and everything else. Which, you know, with this show, that's not my main driving force behind it. I just really love having these conversations. And the last episode with my buddy Aaron Edge, I've gotten so much amazing feedback from that show. And that conversation was 3 hours, and it was one of the most special conversations I've ever had with a dear friend of mine. And it's something we'll have forever. We were just talking last night about it. We got together and just talking about how we wanted to keep that special and not do a bunch of other podcasts. He's not going to do a bunch of podcasts, like we did, because he wants that to be out there, and he's getting a lot of feedback too. So if you haven't checked that one out yet, I definitely recommend it, but it is long. So it's going to take a couple sits to get through that, but it'll be well worth it. There's a lot of funny stuff on there, a lot of serious stuff on there. Goes all over the place like we always do. If you guys have been with the show a while, you understand how I work. So I keep things really real and a lot of flow. And, you know, it's just a conversation between two people, regardless of who they are, and just bringing out the stories. So definitely check us out on the socials. Follow us. Tell a friend. Rate. Review the show. Subscribe to the show. Tell a friend. All that good stuff. We've got a lot of good shows in store for you. I've got a few done already, so those will be coming out in the next few weeks. We got a good one next week. But without further ado, guys, let's get into this episode with my buddy Jason Butler from Fever 333.
Fun. When the name
Awesome, man. Well, Jason Butler from the Fever 333, Let Live, whole bunch of awesome stuff. Thanks for coming on the show, man. This is the Pure Pleasure Podcast.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you giving me your time.
Dude, absolutely. I've been keeping up on your stuff for quite a while now. My buddy Johnny Minardi put me in touch with Ross at Roadrunner to have you on the show. And I remember seeing Let Live back in, I'm from Portland, Oregon, so it was probably, I want to say 2007, 2008. I was working at a club called Branks. I was working the door in between tours.
Oh, wow.
And you guys opened that show.
Yes, I remember the brick building, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally remember that place. Yeah, that's crazy. It wasn't too far from Burnside.
Yeah, exactly. Did you go skate?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's crazy.
Dude, I take my kids down there every Sunday that my five-year-old is trying to learn to skateboard, and she's doing a pretty damn good job. But we go down before that's everyone awesome. Shows up. Everyone's still passed out in the van out front. So.
Right.
Yeah, man. And so I was working the door, and Jeff King Banana is the promoter, and I hadn't heard of any of the bands. And so, but the place I was at working the door, I mean, there's like two big openings, and I was just off to the side, so I couldn't see what was going on. And you guys started and got through like one song, and I was like, I got to check this out. So I like abandoned my post and went over and started watching from the bar. And it was awesome, man. It was so refreshing. Like, it was just unique and original, and you guys just had this fire. And ever since then, I've just followed everything because it's been just – it's I love it. So I do definitely appreciate you coming on board, and big thanks to Johnny Minardi and Ross and everybody. And Taylor had called me a few minutes before 4 o'clock, and I totally thought it was a telemarketer because it's from Texas. So I answered the phone. I was like,
oh,
hello?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, this is Taylor. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Dude. But awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. And I know you got a lot going on today, so I appreciate it. But I wanted to kind of get your story. I don't know a lot about you as a person. I know your music. I know your art. But I kind of wanted to jump back a bit and kind of talk about your journey. Well, you know, where you came from and kind of what inspired you to do what you're doing now. You know, you came up in Englewood, California, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And what was childhood like for you? Were you a popular kid? Were you a kind of an introvert? I mean, you're pretty outspoken on stage, which I love, but I assume maybe not the same in day to day.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of been a loudmouth, but I think that growing up in Englewood, you're kind of forced to grow up a little bit quicker than other places, just by way of trying to make sure that you stay safe, and that you kind of have to kind of have your head on a swivel at times. And I think that also because I was living in Englewood, but I went to school in a more affluent area on permit outside of Englewood, I was quickly shown the disparity between demographics, and I had a lot of questions as a youth, and I had a really big, I had a pretty hard time with my identity being, you know, being biracial and not really sort of fitting into either one mold of being black or white. So, I mean, I had no problem like making friends or anything like that. I think most of what I was searching for was, you know, my own sense of self-confidence and self-worth and trying to find a place in one of the cultures that I felt that, you know, I should be designated to, you know, being either black or white or what have you. So for me, it was just really trying to understand me and like where I fit in and all this. And I think that a lot of like where I grew up has a lot to do with why I see things the way I do, why I feel the way I do about, you know, societal issues or even emotional issues. And I think it's a place where, you know, Englewood, California is a place where you can find a sense of community 100%, absolutely. And I'm so thankful for that. And I appreciate that for where I'm from. But also, you know, it's also a place where we feel underserved and underrepresented, and we feel disenfranchised. We feel like we're this sort of like outside, we're an outlier within one of the largest, most affluent cities in the country. In the world. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that you ask yourself being from where I'm from. And then there's also a lot of questions that I ask myself being who I am, you know, having mixed race parents and trying to find a place, like an identity. You know, everybody, especially as a youth, you want to belong. You want to have people that are like you, or at least can like represent where you're from in that way. So if there was any sort of struggle I experienced early on, it was just, by way of social disparity, because of my demographic, and then being exposed to another demographic, and obviously my own, sort of personal identity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that just seems like a rough area to grow up in general, but when you're struggling with a personal conflict of finding who you are and, you know, also dealing with the outside society, I mean, it sounds like a challenge. I mean, a big challenge. I mean, what was home life like for you?
Yeah.
What were your parents like?
They were hardworking, man. Like, my mom went back to school and she was still working. My dad was, he was doing music, but he was also working like fucking everything from like working on the Frito-Lay truck, delivering like chips and cookies, to he became an accountant and he was still doing his music. My father was kind of in and out of jail as I was growing up, mm-hmm. For reasons that, you know, I think that a lot of it has to do with the struggle, you know, with a lot of it has to do with trying to make ends meet in a system that doesn't really lend itself to, again, like I said, our demographic or our people in that way.
Yeah.
And that is just by way of policy, really. And that's something that I've observed again and studied and it's been proven statistically. This isn't conjecture. It's not bias. It's not my opinion. Like, this is all just, these are just facts, and these are things that I've come to learn. So while understanding all of that in my childhood, they were really just trying hard to do the best they could for our family, even if there were some missteps that were made. And, you know, my father being, like I said, in and out of jail, and my mother having to work and go to school and be a mother, sometimes a solo mom with myself and my little sister. And we weren't always the easiest kids, you know what I'm saying? So I look back at my childhood, and I actually have a very large respect for my mother and father for trying really hard in a very, not a very ideal situation. Especially being a father myself now, I see it very differently.
Yeah. How old were you when your father was it kind of like a brief time where he was in jail, or was it kind of consistently over your childhood?
He was like, when I was like really young, when I was about like, I think like 6 through 8. And then when I was at the end of middle school, and then when I was in high school. So, okay. Yeah. And he would spend, anywhere from like a few months to, sometimes it was like a year or two and couple of years, few years. Yeah, it was just kind of like, it just, at the aggregate of time, it was hanging out during sort of my, I guess my like social cognizance and the development of my awareness of society and kind of how things work, kind of were shaped by my father's experience, and seeing him be taken from us quite frequently growing up.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask, because that's definitely at a time where it would definitely affect you. Especially, in those formative years, and I couldn't imagine going through that kind of struggle. I mean, I'd never had that issue, but to go through that and then have to be dealing with adolescence and school and everything else, it just sounds, rough. I mean, absolutely. And when did you start getting into music? Was it young because of your father? Did he get you introduced to music, or did you find it in a different way where it really started to touch you?
Yeah, my dad is absolutely the reason. He was he was an artist himself. So because of his experience, and he kind of got taken advantage of and exploited as a young brother in the industry early on. So we, I think a lot of our woe financially was because my dad signed some pretty bad deals back in the day. And, you know, when me and my sister came around, we really didn't have much money because all his money was taken from him on the back end. So because of that, my parents really tried to focus and put a strong focus on you know, education and also for sports for me so that I could do well in school and so that I could get a scholarship so I could go to college. Like, that was a really, really big focus. And they kept music away from me. They didn't want me to play music. They wanted me to, you know, I could listen to, obviously it was, you know, our house was shrouded and like drenched in music all the time between my mother and father. But actually playing music, they tried to keep me away from until I was about 11 and they bought me a guitar. And from that moment, it was like, even before I had the guitar, I knew that I wanted to play music. I wanted to perform. I wanted to express myself because I thought that my example from my father and all of his friends was that, you know, you get to be someone in that moment on stage. You get to be someone that you don't necessarily get to be in your normal life or in society. And I thought that that sort of liberation was so attractive to me and so appealing. So my example was my father, really. And then as I got older, I got different types of music from my brother. I got like hip hop and gangster rap from my brother. I got punk rock and skateboarding when I was like 10. So I always lean towards subversive music, you know, whether that be hip hop, gangster rap, or punk rock. Like, I was really very much into that. And of course I had a huge penchant for pop because of my mother. So, yeah, man, that's kind of how music came to me and how I first started investing myself in music. It was very early on because it was always around me and it was an example for me.
Sure. Sure. And so did you go to college?
Yeah. So I got into a couple colleges and then I started touring. You know, the allure of touring and traveling the world and experience, like, and how much you could get out of music, or at least what I thought you could get out of music from just believing, you know what I'm saying? Like, just putting everything you had into it and really, really, you know, diving head first and not looking back when it came to music, whether it was touring or just investing in art and just creating something that's different, that's challenging, that sparks something in people. So because of that, you know, I got into a couple colleges and I decided not to go because right after high school, I had to start working a little bit more to help, you know, my family with my sister was still young. She was still in high school. So I was working to kind of help out my family. And then on top of that, I was doing the band. And so, you know, the worth of working for my family and making music was worth more to me at the time than, you know, paying all this money for higher education that I didn't even really know what I wanted to do. So I ended up going to community college for like 2 semesters and then I left on tour and that was it. After that, I just kept doing it.
Never look back.
Yeah. I want to go. I would love to go back to school really, but I'm still here touring and enjoying it and getting to find my sense of purpose in that way too is very cool.
Sure. I absolutely 100% agree. And I know from where you're coming from, myself doing, you know, touring for almost 12 years, like I didn't go to college. I left and left Alaska, moved down, went on tour, got signed to Fearless, went, you know, round and round and round, eating, you know, $3 a day budget for food. Like, but you fucking love what you're doing. Like, you would make some fucked up concoction at McDonald's look like a steak dinner just to keep going and to keep playing those shows. And I mean, it gets inside you. And I think everyone should have the chance to go out and find what they're made of, hit the road and do something, whether it's music or anything. I mean, you're kind of in a cool situation because you were saying earlier how you were kind of forced to grow up at an early age and maybe not experience as much of that, you know, childhood wonder and curiosity and everything else to kind of explore yourself. And you just now made it pretty much into a career where you don't really have to grow up. You know what I mean? Where it's kind of, you can just, you can experience your childhoods the rest of your life if you keep doing this, because of course there's the business side. You assign yourself a solid team of people to look out for your money, look out for your best interests, and you can go out there and fucking kill it and just have a blast. You know what I mean? Like, it's something, it's one of the most lucky jobs in the world to do this, because you can literally just be who you normally couldn't be. You know, you can just, you'd have to, you know, of course there's a schedule and everything else. You know, you may not see as much of what you want to see, but every night you're getting up there and just completely bearing your soul to the world. It's the coolest fucking thing ever. I mean, do you feel the same way about it? Like,
yeah, I feel blessed, man. I feel very privileged and very lucky every time that I when I look back at what I get to do as a career, it is almost surreal. Like, it, you know, you look at, when I was in the garage, sneaking in my dad's garage, playing his instruments, and then when I was in the garage starting my first band, the first iteration of my projects, I think back then, like, we never even really thought about this like that. You know, we just thought about getting to the next show or writing a song and cutting a demo and getting enough money from working our shitty job at the restaurant so that we could cut a demo. Like, you know, we always wanted more, as you should, but we never really, it's crazy. I was talking about this yesterday with my buddy. It was like, we almost feel like we were never supposed to be here. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like someone's going to go, okay, it's been fun. And then like usher us out of this dream, you know? And I just feel really, really lucky. Every time that I step foot on stage, or I get to go in the studio, or I get to talk to somebody about art and say that I'm this is my career. Like, it's such a privilege. And I'm always, as long as I'm aware of that, then I will be able to continue on the way that I do.
Yeah, that's what it's going to keep you going. I was just going to ask, like, what, you know, through the hard times, what keeps you going through this kind of stuff? Like, you know, when you are having hard times, when you're having, you know, the struggles of the early days, you know, when, you know, five shows in a row get canceled, you're eating from a can, you know, like, you're still in a van, all that stuff. Like, what was motivating you to get through those times? I mean, was it just knowing... I mean, you just know in your heart that you were going to do this, or did you just have, you know, that drive naturally?
Yeah, I think it's a concoction of both. I think, you know, I definitely had that drive because of where I'm from, you got to hustle. Like, you got to hustle to get yours, you know what I'm saying? To get what you think you deserve or what you want. It's kind of inherent to where I'm from, but also just like, you have to believe, right? You have to believe that this shit is worth what the fuck, you know, all the effort and all the time that you're putting into it. You have to believe that it's worth it in order to feel a sense, like a fuel, to obtain the fuel that it takes to keep the fire going. You have to believe, you know what I'm saying? You have to, and sometimes you just, even if you're fucking, you're convincing yourself that it will work, like, whatever you have to do by any means necessary, you know, you gotta believe. And so I think that that's kind of what I did, and it, through some very, very difficult, tumultuous, like, wild times. I think that's what kept me going, and I'm very happy that I was able to maintain that mindset and get here today.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's one thing that's massive, that you can see there's a differentiation between someone, and you can tell when you watch an artist, someone who truly believes in what they're doing and someone who doesn't. I mean, you can absolutely tell. And I feel like what you're saying, you believe in what you're doing, you believe that it's going to work, other people will do the same. It's contagious, you know, and that's, I think, a big, big part of success is believing in, you know, what you're doing to the fullest degree. What's going on, guys? This is Dewey. I want to tell you about some new releases coming up from Equal Vision Records. As you guys know, Equal Vision Records is my family, and so are these bands. I really want you to check these out. We've got Hot Water Music with their 10th studio album, Vows, out May 10th, featuring guest appearances by Dallas Green of City and Color, Thrice, The Interrupters, and Brendan and Daniel from Turnstile. See them on the 30th anniversary tour with Quicksand in the States in May and June, and Europe in November. Hotwatermusic.com for more info. We also have Be Well with their new 7-inch, A Tap I Can't Turn Off, out now. First new music in 2 years from this band. This band is incredible, featuring members of Battery, Bane, Darkest Hour, and Fairweather. See them on tour with I Am the Avalanche in June. Equalvision.com for more info on that. and just your general information on Equal Vision Records, you're always going to find something you like at equalvision.com. Go there for vinyl and merch from all of your favorite bands. Check out Hot Water Music's new record and Be Well's new 7-inch now. What's going on, guys? This is Dewey from Peer Pleasure, and I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, DistroKid. DistroKid distributes your music across all online platforms. They are an amazing company. I've enjoyed working with them the last few weeks, and they're going to be with us for a while, and I really, really appreciate that. I love working with great companies, and DistroKid is one of them. They have an awesome thing they're doing right now called Splits. Now, if you're working, as most people are, online, doing collaborations with people from all over the country, all over the world, as easy as that is with the internet, you want to get those people paid when you put that music online. And Splits can do that. You can add an unlimited amount of collaborators to any track. You can change the splits at any time. You can add or remove collaborators at any time. You can see previous splits. And all your collaborators are going to have to do is sign up for a DistroKid membership, a DistroKid account, so they can get paid. And as always, DistroKid never takes a cut. You and your collaborators get 100% of the earnings in total. A couple other awesome things that they do is they set up an official artist YouTube channel. You can use Spotify Canvas, synced lyrics, promo card to promote your release on social media, a mini video for your socials as well. There's just so many awesome things about using DistroKid. And like I said, I don't advertise things I don't use, haven't signed up for. I have signed up for this. It is a breeze, literally a breeze. And you can get going right away. So definitely check out DistroKid. And I want to give you 30% off your first year's DistroKid membership at any level. That is distrokid.com/VIP/PPP for Peer Pleasure Podcast. Once again, that is 30% off your first year's DistroKid membership at any level. distrokid.com/VIP/PPP. Go check out DistroKid right now. distrokid.com/VIP/PPP for 30% off.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Hey guys, this is Dewey from Peer Pleasure, and I wanted to tell you about Premium Pleasure, our premium subscription service that's available now. Peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm is the website. There's three tiers, tier one, tier two, and tier three. Tier one is $5 a month. It gets you the ad-free experience. Tier 2 gets you access to the Peer Pleasure Passcast. It gets you access to the videos of the interviews. It gets you merch discounts. Tier 3 is $20 a month. That gets you all of that. It gets you the Passcast, gets you the video footage, discounts on merchandise, and monthly Zoom calls with myself and other guests. We're going to have all kinds of stuff in there for you. There's all kinds of stuff in there for you now. There is, I believe, 30 to 40 videos of these interviews. There is multiple episodes of the Passcast. The Passcast is a podcast that I'd started separately that is me and another podcaster or me and a guest discussing a deep dive into their favorite episode of Peer Pleasure. So there's a bunch of those on there. So-and-so and I would talk about the Chino Moreno episode. So-and-so and I would talk about the Yvette Young episodes. And we would do a deep dive and tell where they came from, how we got the guest, stories of that weren't discussed on the podcast or maybe weren't in there. It's just another glimpse behind the curtain. So that's the big deal with this premium service, is giving you a glimpse behind the curtain of how the podcast is made, gives you access to things I'm doing and things that we're doing with the show, gives you, you know, ad free stuff. It gives you just all kinds of things that we could throw in there to help make it a valuable part of your month. Cause I put everything out there on this show. I put everything I have into this show. So being able to give you guys that little bit of extra is a big deal to me, and having your support is a big deal to me, because if we don't support our artists and creatives, we're not going to have any left. So I appreciate it. peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm is the website. Go sign up today and get some of this premium pleasure. And that's something I've noticed.
Yeah, you have to.
Well, seeing you live, I mean, it's no secret. You're fucking insane live. And all I think when I watch these videos or see it live is this guy's having a fucking blast right now. Like, he's having the time of his life.
Yeah, man.
Like, fucking throwing drums through the air with microphones in it, fucking beating the shit out of yourself, jumping in a river, whatever else it is. I just laugh because I'm like, he's having the most fun ever. Like, I'm sure some people look at it like, this guy's insane. I'm like, no, this guy's having a blast. This guy is a kid on stage, you know? Like, it's so pure, and it's contagious, you know? I wanted to walk through, you know, some of the Let Live days and things like that. But one thing that I really wanted to say with the fever is I really think it's a band that we need right now in America. Like, it's absolutely from the groove to the ferocity to the energy to the message. I think it's something that's so important. You know, you think back to, like, when Rage Against the Machine was around, you know, and the impact they had and how you could watch a crowd just bounce like a blanket in unison, 20,000 people. You guys are doing the same thing. Like, you guys have that same infectious groove. You've got the drive. You've got the message. I think it's really what America needs right now. And it's something that I've been really appreciating lately. Like, wow, this is refreshing. Like, this makes me think. This makes me, you know, inspired. It's really cool. And so I really appreciate that. I mean, it's I really feel that's something we need right now. But
thank you, man. That really means a lot to me. I would hope that this is something that could provide that kind of feeling or that you know, that fill that void that people may be feeling. So I really appreciate you saying that.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, and is that what you're feeling when you're on stage and you're just going, I mean, caution to the wind? I mean, are you just having the time of your life? I mean, are you getting other things out?
I mean, I think it's a collection. I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I have to sort of indulge myself in order to enjoy, you know, and remind myself of the sense of enjoyment that we're afforded when we perform. But ultimately, man, it's about that idea that it's something that I've been missing in music. It's something that I've been missing in art and societally, which is what I'm trying to provide with this project. So I think because I know I want to see it myself, I always believe that you should demonstrate the things that you believe or demonstrate the things that you want to change or that, you know, that you think should be present in the world. I think you have to demonstrate them first and foremost. So when I'm on stage, when I'm doing these things, and I really believe that, like, I'm trying to represent a sense of liberation, a sense of freedom and expression, really. And as cliche as it may sound, and I truly, in my heart of hearts, I really mean that. I'm just trying to really offer an exhibition of something that I believe, you know, that we should feel free to do, and that's express ourselves.
That's exactly what it is. It's performance art. Like, I've seen, you know, crazy bands throughout my time. I mean, I mean, you watch, like, At the Drive-In or, you know, like, just people, like, just complete craziness, chaos. With you, it's different. Like, it's something, it's more, to me, like a performance, like performance art with music behind it. Like, it's more like a, it just looks like, it's just something to watch and it gets you inspired. You know, it definitely inspires me and gets me pumped up, you know, just even watching it on video. I'm just smiling ear to ear. It's just great.
Oh man, you that's know, amazing.
Like, I think there's that one video. I don't remember what it was. I think you guys were playing like a small stage on Warped Tour or something like that, where you like ran and jumped in the water and then came back at band camp.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then came back. Or, you know, there's the one video too where it just came out recently. It was like a teaser, but where I was talking about where you put the mic and the drum and just fucking chucked it in the air as high as you could. And then at the very end, like, your jumpsuit's like half ripped off and you just look back and wink and smile. And then I was like, fuck yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, man.
You know, the true face.
You got to enjoy it. And you got to understand that, like, the art is a vessel. It's with where you go with that vessel, where you choose to steer it, you know, that's up to you. And I'm trying to, you know, create a space where I can encourage a sense, a sort of messaging, but also create a space, like I said, of liberation and freedom and also just enjoyment, man. I want to enjoy what I'm doing.
Sure. Absolutely. Who inspired you? Like, who inspired you to do what you do now? As far as, I mean, was there someone specific that really changed what art was for you and how, you know, it kind of taught you how to express? Was there someone that had like a direct link to that for you?
Oh man, that's a great, I've never actually been asked that question. I honestly, man, I think it was like, for me, it was more so just seeing culturally how art could affect culture, you know, within the communities that I was involved with, whether that be Black community, punk rock, you know, skateboarding. Like, there was these forms of art that really did affect culture in such a way that it shifted it and that it shaped it and that it, you know, created lingo and it created dance moves and it created a language that we spoke to each other. I think that kind of observing art and the way that, and its effects on culture, I think just as a whole was what really made me the most interested in it. And again, it was a place where you could be something different than, you know, what society sort of expected of you.
Okay. Okay. I could see that. And so with, when Let Live ended, how did you go about starting Fever?
I actually got my wife got pregnant. I was still in Let Live, but Let Live was fairly inactive. I needed to make sure that I could afford having a kid. Like, literally birthing this child is very expensive, as you know.
Oh yeah.
So I had to go get a job, and I got a job with a family friend, and I was basically selling these cookie accounts to like bougie grocery stores for these vegan gluten-free cookies. And I was at one of these stores, and a young lady came up to me and talked to me about Let Live. She had seen us before, and we had a little conversation, and then she left. And then the next day I was there again, and then in walks Travis Barker, who was the godfather of that young lady I had spoke to the day before. And she had shown him videos of Let Live and me performing in Let Live, and he was interested, and he came back, and he told me he had watched them. He told me that, you know, we discussed having a mutual friend, which was John Feldman.
Yeah.
And he said that we should do music together. Yeah, and he was saying that we should do music together, and I thought, yeah, it sounds amazing, Travis Barker. I'd love to do that. didn't really know what to think of it, so I didn't put too much weight in it. And then a little, like about a week later, I got a call from John saying that him and Travis wanted to get together. And then on Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday 2017, the three of us got together and discussed what we wanted to see in music and what we wanted to hear and what we expected of art. And that's kind of the genesis of Fever 333. And the idea of that came from those beginnings and my relationship with John and then meeting Travis. And then through that, after having that big discussion and creating like a sort of a schematic idea of this vision, I gave Eric, our drummer, and Steven a call and told them what it was, very transparent, told them what it was, what it wasn't going to be, and offer them a place in this collective, and they accepted very willingly, and they've added such an amazing piece to that puzzle. So, you know, that's kind of how it all came together.
Man, what, and so getting it off the ground, like, did it seem to catch fire pretty quick, or was it more of a struggle? I mean, I heard about it a while after Let Live was over, I believe, when I finally saw stuff on it. I mean, was there a time there where it was, you know, hitting the ground running and trying to build and build and build, or did it grab attention right away?
I mean, we just, like, it was just ideas that I'd had for so long, like our first demonstration being in a donut shop parking lot where I'm from, out of the back of a U-Haul, creating like this sort of platform for people to speak and just to sort of discuss the conversation of power and empowerment, first and foremost, or concurrently alongside the music. Like, it was all about, like, it was about creating a sense of culture. A culture and being advocates of a movement that was already happening. Like, people already want more from themselves and their communities. You know, they already want that. But we've seen that. We see it time and time again. The discontent, the polarizing politics, like all of these things that we see right now as a people that are becoming more and more strenuous, strenuous on us and our really our survival. We wanted to create a soundtrack to that, so we created sort of, you know, this messaging that offered advocacy for a movement that was already began with the people, and we just kind of ran with that. And then I felt like very quickly people caught on, because I think, again, not because of us necessarily, but more so because of what people want. And we were just trying to represent what people want, because we wanted ourselves. So I think that it happened a lot quicker than I expected. But at the same time, if I believe in people's power and believe in and how fervent, you know, the fervor for change that people have, considering that, I guess it does make sense.
Absolutely. I remember, I mean, it definitely invokes a reaction too. I mean, I remember, it's kind of funny to think about, but when I first heard "We're Coming In," I was in my car and I was driving home from work and I had the windows down and I put it on, and in Portland, Oregon, you know, I could sense the message right away, of course, but once it kicked in with the chorus, I had that like Office Space moment where the dude's listening to, I think it's Scarface or something, in traffic,
and he turns
the radio down as the guy walks by and then turns it back up again. I had that immediate feeling
because I'm driving
through like a nice part of Portland. I had this feeling like, I should not be listening to this right now. I'm not worthy of this, because I wasn't in a struggle, you know, like it almost felt dirty. And then I fucking cranked it and I was like, dude, this is badass. It was so funny.
But that's what it's about, man. It's about really feeling empowered, man. That's really what it is, because no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, for the most part, you know, the idea of power is politicized. And because of that, it finds itself in a very, very fractional part of our society. It only serves a very few, a small percentage of our society. So the idea of power is what we're trying to encourage, and really recognizing one's own power. And making a change that they want to see personally, or they want to see in the community, or they want to see globally, whatever that may be. But at the very, very, very nexus of all of this, it's an idea of power. So I'm glad that you felt that when you heard that song.
Oh, yeah. It gave me – so I grew up with, like I mentioned, like Rage Against the Machine. Like, I grew up in Alaska. We had Rage Against the Machine, Pantera, like certain bands that really like lit a fire under us. And I got that same bounce and feel that I have not felt since – hearing that first Rage record, where I was like, this is like, why is my head moving like this? Like, I couldn't control myself.
Right.
I had that same feeling. And that's why I was saying earlier, we need that so badly. You know, we need that. And that's exactly what it's doing, is it's going to unite people. It's going to bring people together. And like you're saying, show the power of one, you know, like everyone has their own thing to add. To the community aspect. And I love how you call them demonstrations, like our first demonstration, you know, like it was it that connotation right there, you know, sets it apart from, you know, a band performance or a concert, you know, like when you say demonstration, it ties everyone in front of you into what's on stage. And I love that.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. And, Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, now the band is doing great. I'm seeing it everywhere. You got a new record coming out, but you how old's your kid?
He's 1 year, 4 months, so he's 16 months old right now, and he's actually on the other side of this door, like screaming at me because he saw me. I got out my car and he wants me to come see him. But he's 16 months, and he's just like the most beautiful example of humanity I could ever imagine. I'm just so grateful for him, and I'm so grateful for my wife being so strong, and showing me a sense of womanhood as well as personhood that is just so extraordinary. And I'm just I feel very lucky at the moment to have them in my life and have the way that I do while I'm doing what I do. It really does inform the way that I approach my art and my career, really, and my activism.
Sure. And you advocate for women, you know, being a gentleman, being a man, you know, you talk about the women in your life, which is something that's also really inspiring, especially right now in the times we're going through and the sea change that we're going through in culture right now with gender and inequality and all that stuff. That's something that's also really refreshing to see and inspiring. But what I wanted to get at there is now you have a child. You're a touring musician. The schedule's crazy. You're out and about all the time. how has having a child changed your view on what you're doing now as a career? I mean, does it inspire you to work harder? Does it make you want to slow down as far as, you know, schedule wise, being home more? I mean, how are you dealing with that? Because you kind of had, with you, your father was kind of in and out for other reasons, but also with music. Does that carry over into how you're parenting with your son?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% it does. I mean, I can't help but think about how I used to feel, you know, if my dad wasn't around or if I was alone at home. You know, I can't help but feel like that. And what it does is it makes my sense of indecisiveness, it almost eradicates it, because every decision I have to make now, it has to come back and benefit my son and my wife. Like, that's it. Like, that's the only question, really. And because of that, if it does that, then in turn, it should benefit others too. You know, I need to make sure that I'm doing things for not myself anymore, and making sure that every decision I make is a very thought out one and a very effective one. And so it makes me want to work harder so that later on I can have time. I can have more time. I can do more. I have more control over my schedule. I have more control over my scenario so that I can have my son with me, that I can have my wife out more. Because, you know, if I'm being honest, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life is leave my family behind. And I'm still trying to figure out how to, like, deal with that the best way I can. But, it's, of course, there has to be a worth in it, right? And I believe that this is so important for so many reasons. And my wife does too, and I hope my son does when he can understand it. But, you know, I just want to make sure that the decisions I make are not just for myself.
Sure. And I think he's going to understand that when he sees how many people you're inspiring and what you're doing. I mean, it's got to start somewhere, and if you're taking that and running with it, I mean, he's going to catch on to that and see it, and hopefully it inspires him to do the same. So, you know, I really respect what you're doing, and I'm really excited to see what's next. And let's talk about the new record real quick so I can get you off of here and home, because I know the feeling when you pull in and your kids want to see you. You know, I don't want to keep you much longer, but let's talk about the new record real quick and Strength in Numbers, correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct. I'm just so you know, I'm in my house right now with my kid, and he's gonna be yelling and stuff.
Okay.
I'm still here. Come here, baby. There you go. Hi. Strength in Numbers. It's out. I guess it's out in like other countries right now, but it's out tomorrow in America.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'm just. I'm just absolutely grateful for what you're doing, and grateful for you for coming on the show too. You know, I don't have much more, because I want to let you get home and play and do your thing. But I just appreciate you coming on the show, man. I really do. And sharing your story and some inspiration for my listenership as well.
Of course, brother. I really appreciate you. Like I said, I appreciate you giving me the time to speak on these things, and I appreciate you understanding the way you do. And I just, you know, I think that we all need, we need to have these conversations, you know what I'm saying? We need to share these experiences, these thoughts. So just thank you for allowing me to be here with you tonight.
Hey, man, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. And hopefully I'll see you down the road at a show here in Portland.
That would be amazing, bro. Let's get like some cool artisan artisanal coffee or something. I'm sure they got a lot of that over there.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, absolutely. So I'll be in touch. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Butler from the Fever 333. You guys may know him also from Let Live before that. We talked about it a bit on the episode. But guys, I really hope you enjoyed this one. It was really inspiring for me to chat with him and get his insight on some things and kind of get his story. He came up in a rough time. He's been through a lot of shit and is really doing something with it and inspiring people. And if you guys go right now and pull up any video of them live and just watch the passion this band has, I mean, you're going to see why they are where they are. They just wrapped a tour with Thrice and Bring Me the Horizon. They're doing all kinds of world travel coming up. And, I mean, just what a fantastic band. So go check out the Fever 333. The new record is Strength in Numbers. Big shout out to Johnny and Ross for setting this up and getting this together. I know it was a couple tries, but we made it happen, and I'm really happy with the output. So hopefully you guys write me and let me know what you think of the episode. Check out the band. Shoot Jason an email. Let him know what you thought of the episode. If you're into the music, you know, it's a good thing. So I'm not going to keep you guys much longer. PurePleasurePodcast.com is the website for everything. Check out the new web store with shirts, hats, stickers. Put those stickers up everywhere you can. Take a picture, comment, tag us in it. We've been seeing them all over the world. It's been really awesome to see. And, you know, things are taking notice and people are listening to the show. As we know, every week the numbers get bigger. And, you know, just big, big thank you to guys coming back week after week. So, like I said, we got good stuff coming out next week and the week after and the week after. A lot of episodes in the can and a lot we're working on now. And I just really appreciate having you guys with us. It means a lot. It's the reason I do the show. You know, it keeps me creative, keeps me in touch. But it also, you know, when I get emails saying something inspired somebody or changed somebody's view on something, it really means a lot. So, man, thank you so much, guys. And as always, we'll see you on the radio.
Hey there, I'm Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.